You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Renowned Aotearoa artist Michael Shepard's latest series, The Disasters of War, is currently being exhibited at Two Rooms Gallery in Greylin. Two Rooms explains that these latest works show the silent reality faced by New Zealand's threatened flora. Many endangered species endure in small, often highly modified fragments that sit firmly outside the public view and imagination. Amongst the many things that we know, yet often fail to recognise, the real consequences of war on the populace are frequently buried beneath political discourse or bold statements of heroism and intent. The artistic ethos of romantic painter Goya is a constant throughout the disasters of war. Each of Shepard's works are framed by black and feature the words, "Death like Goya." I spoke with the artist about the exhibition, which opened yesterday at Two Rooms Gallery.
What are the themes that tie these pieces together?
From the time I was a child, I had a great love of plants, but not an academic knowledge. I loved them as a tiny child and was very fascinated by them, these strangers that we live right alongside. Since we understand that all that the human genome is largely composed now of plant and fungus, we are in fact looking at something of ourselves. It's a broad sweep, I know, but I'll tie that together.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I, about 20 years ago, met a remarkable Jeff Davidson, Jeff and Beverly, I should include them both, but Jeff, who has got a level of knowledge right up to taxonomic level, that I begin to study them more formally, but I never forgot my feeling of the magic of them. That they are extraordinary life right alongside us. So it's been a lifelong thing.
Can you speak on the significance or impact of Spanish romantic painter Goya throughout this series?
Yes, I can indeed. I've developed a love of Goya when I was about, I think probably ran into his work about 11 or 12. And I was deeply compelled by them, and I still, as a 74-year-old, still deeply compelled by them.
Mm.
I think they are some of the, if ever we need a Goya today, it's if we needed a Goya, rather, it's today.
Yeah.
Not so much of the academic art that we've fed and continue to make, but we need men and women of powerful passion who can really generate the kind of images that we can, to use Bacan's term, live by.
Yes, each of these pieces actually, like, they're each sort of framed by a border of black, and then they read the words, "The Disasters of War," and then beneath that, "Death like Goya," in parentheses.
Yes, I can talk about that. The first thing is the black surround really goes back to the 19th century death card. All right.
Mm-hmm.
They long interested me even as a child. We had them in boxes in the house. The death card was always framed in the 19th century by black. So that's one aspect about it. But the most important is that Goya's disasters of war were etched during the Peninsular Wars, but he did not see them printed in his own life. They weren't actually printed till about 1860-65 period, but he must have seen proofs, obviously. But really what they are is man's inhumanity to man. It's very simple, and that includes what people were doing to the dead, you know, sticking them in trees and axing their legs off after death, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mutilation. And we have lived with mutilation most of this century too, for that matter, so we're no strangers to it.
Mm.
But I think what did interest me very much about great master paintings up to the time that I discovered I became more academically inclined towards nature was that in great master painting, the land beneath people's feet was treated, or the subject's feet was treated as a Shakespearean stage. A bit like fences on a piece that was just an inert mass. Now, they are in the disasters of war, not because Goya intends that, but because it gives more emphasis to his figures involved in their ghastly business.
Mm.
But what I did with his paintings was turned it right upside down and treated the land as the most important. Now, there's two reasons for that. Whenever these wars have been, and right up to date, there's almost no ecological reports on them. that I've seen out of Ukraine or Iran or Iraq, all of these things, and yet we know that it's washed with nuclear-tipped dust from the big shells. So I use that to look at another kind of war, which is an economic war, largely, of which some of the rarer species in New Zealand, they were rare and naturally occurring to begin with, but they've been pushed to the brink of extinction, and I think we are going to see a wave of extinction in New Zealand. So many years ago now, I met another remarkable man in my life, Philip Smith. Philip Smith is a young, ardent botanist, and he started inviting me out to look at some of these rare species. So we would tramp and look at them in high country in South Island or North Island. And via that way, I got to see some of the rarest little prisoners of economic theory that one could imagine. Tiny little plants, and sometimes they were in cages because the rabbits would eat them or something like that, and Doc had no answer to keeping them alive. So I began to pity these things, feel a pity, and I'd felt that ever since I was a child about vegetation anyway. I'd always hated it being knocked around. So that was deeply in me from a very early age.
Yeah.
I'm not a sort of kid that sort of took a stick and smashed into trees or anything.
Yeah.
And particularly hated the mutilation of insects.
Yeah.
So, and also Philip introduced me to a thing called the non-native. Native has now donated by particular matrices of plant, largely North Island, and involves so-called iconic species like kauri or cordyline or Nico, all those big things that pepper people's paintings. There's nothing inherently wrong about that, but mass planting them has frequently got a rather roundabout generic feel and is actually not true nature either. So I began to think that I'd like to do some work with these tiny shivering little things that eke out living in impossible conditions, really. So I could think of something like Pseudonephalium ephemera, which only makes its living now around a few cattle posts in central Otago.
Yeah.
I could think of Ceratocephala pungens, of which the remarkable Dana Pillai is lucky to spend a day with her looking at rare species, and we saw eight. I counted eight on the side of the road, and she said, look, the chance of survival, the council will come through and spray them out. Well, just recently down there, I followed our trail, and sure enough, they've gone.
Yeah.
So these tiny little things are going without any fanfare, without any love, without any recognition of their special nature. Those are the things that have driven me to paint these tiny, tiny plants. In many cases, they're many times bigger than the plant. A simple example would be myosota species, which are forget-me-nots. Now, one would imagine, being white and of European culture, that myosotas are English. That's the home of the forget-me-not. But no, it's not. We have 43 species, which is the greatest amount in one country in the world. Now, we don't associate those with it. So my painting, I hopefully turns expectations about what a native is upside down, and at the same time tries to draw attention to the fact we must love these things and protect them.
Yeah.
We must stand up against this current government's wave of fuck this and fuck that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We must really go into bat for these things. That means resource, and it means, in particular, more money into science. So most people's idea is if we put a ring around a piece of bush, we've got it protected.
Yeah.
But in fact, New Zealand is a remarkable landmass with this great variation of plants, and the genetics of them are complex. They're sourced from all over the place, including a lost Antarctic one, including a lost one which connected us to New Caledonia. And they've become isolated here, and in great isolation, it has accelerated their evolutionary process in some cases because they're so isolated. And we're left with these little shivering children or something, I don't know. But I have a sort of compassion towards them, I think.
Right, yeah.
Now, you know, just bear in mind, I'm not a scientist. I've done some spatial history studies and I'm very fascinated by them. But primarily as an artist, I lope along the edge of these reserves with the plants, all right?
They don't really know about, you know, like how, you know, that these little plants are kind of like everywhere, you know?
We have many of them numbered down to individuals. So in some cases, DOC actually have little posts or little markers along them. So I can think of Myosotis glensioi, for instance, in North Otago, up around what they call the castles area, where Lord of the Rings, incidentally, was filmed.
Yeah.
But they have, I think, from memory, they have exactly 33, and they have little numbers alongside them.
Okay? To keep track. And
yes, it's also stopping people from stealing the plants is another thing.
So
some of them have been hunted to extinction by plant hunters who then can't keep them alive because they're not doctorate holders. They don't have the science needed to keep these things alive. And you shouldn't anyway.
Yeah.
You should be venerated. It's important that all people become kaitiaki for small areas, small things. It's not hard. It's not hard. In particular, young people of your generation, it's absolutely critical that you all get on board with something. Go into bat for something. It might be just one thing. You know, it might be a small group of grasshoppers on one area or somehow learn a little bit about it, but don't take it on as a chore. Take it on because you love it.
Yeah.
It's the important thing. And you identify with it.
Yeah.
When we're looking at plants, we're looking at something of ourselves.
Interesting.
And I think if we saw that, if we lost that is a tree over there and I'm over here thing and close the gap up mentally with it, then we would be off to a good start.
That was artist Michael Shepherd speaking to me about his latest exhibition, The Disasters of War, showing now at Two Rooms Gallery.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.